looking at verses 1 through 2, or 1 through 12. Again, last week on the study of this passage with the focus on the theme of continual repentance for the believer, we pulled that out to use as a communion message. So today we're going to do a full exposition of the passage regarding its context. It's pretty simple. It's pretty short. It's not, you know, there's a lot of nuances. You can get into John's life. You can get into things. But the message that's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 12 is pretty simple and straightforward. Matthew's focus is still on speaking to the Jewish people of his time. He's been writing to them in an apologetic way, giving testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the one they've been looking for. He continues to present a rational basis for faith in Jesus Christ, still seeking to prove Christianity to be true to those that would read this, and then us that would share it with others. That's what the Gospels are. You know, the Jews weren't reading the Gospel of Matthew. They weren't reading any of these, but the people of God, as they would read these, they would have the truths of God that they could share with those that hear the Jewish people in context, but we can share them with all unbelievers. It's the truth of God's word that pierces the heart. It's the affirming of the truth of the gospel. It's all here, but he continues to do this by showing that Jesus is who he said he is, that Jesus is God the Son who has come in human flesh to be the Lord and Savior for all who believe. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he's going to be talking about until we get to the Sermon on the Mount. It's a gospel thing, and then Jesus is going to give a sermon, this incredible sermon. So if you look with me on it, with this on our mind and heart, what we're going to be looking at today, let's read our text, and we'll kind of go from there. We will go from there. But I want you to also be ready to move through your Bible. It's going to be quite a Bible study today, for I will have you take you on this road trip through the scriptures in relation to the truth of this passage, which is salvation's road is of repentance and faith. That's why I said I'm going to take you on a road trip, because of the entitled the passage, Salvation's Road. So be ready with your phone or your Bible, because I recognize the phone is happening a lot with our congregations nowadays. Just, and one of my daughters tells me that I can just move a lot quicker with that thing than I can flipping the pages. And I said, well, you need to learn where Matthew actually is in your Bible, honey. That might help. But no, that's okay, you know, but so be ready. So let's look with me at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, and we'll dig into our text this morning. Matthew writes, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 4, now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all of Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he, that's John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid bare at the root of the tree, therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barns, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Pretty amazing text, and just a narrative telling us that John the Baptist came, that he's prophesied that he was come, tells us what he looked like, what was happening, what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing, and all of this John the Baptist sharing with us, Matthew sharing with us that John the Baptist came preaching. That's what Matthew tells us, a message of repentance. That's what he came preaching, a message of repentance. That's what it is, to pave the road for the coming of the Lord. You could see it that way. And faith in him, that's what he's doing. He's paving the road, right, with a message from God. God gave him the message of repentance. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's paving the road. I want you to see it in that kind of manner. Paving the road for the coming of the Lord, faith in him. That's what he's doing. In fact, God had told the Jewish people through many prophets, 500 to 700 years ago, I won't go through all of those, that John the Baptist would come as a voice crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. So the Jewish people knew that. They know the scriptures, they know what's in there, and here he comes and all that, and they reject him, right? We all know that the Jewish people rejected him, right? But the testimony is true, and the testimony is real, and he did come, and here's John the Baptist. He said he will come with a voice crying in the wilderness, right? So here is the beginning of salvation's road of repentance and faith. That's what's here. So this kind of prompted my heart. I was looking up, so what's the longest road in the world, right? This road, this goes from here to here. It's 18,000 miles long. I was looking. So I got stuck on Route 66. Any of you ever get stuck on Route 66? So I was looking all of that up. It was really interesting and fascinating. You remember that road, right? So the text kind of just drove me there, that this salvation's road. It's the famous road from Chicago to Los Angeles. It meanders all the way through the United States. It goes through 2,500 miles long, right? It goes through many, many famous places, many places just normal people in the world, you know, that just kind of meanders on through. It became an icon road back in the 1950s. Millions of people have traveled that road to come out west, Dust Bowl, all those kind of things, to visit the amazing places like the Grand Canyon and to see that our nation and all of its glory and the small towns. It's quite the experience back then. And you see people talk about it, and it was like, it's so nostalgic. Route 66 is even on the animated movie Cars. You guys all saw that, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 8, 16. All of those, right? How many cars are there now in the animated movie, right? But that's, we remember this, and we know this, and some of you remember the song, Get Your Kicks on Route 66, right? Some of you remember that song? We're looking at Salvation's Road. It doesn't meander around. Salvation's Road goes right to the Lord. John the Baptist began a road of Salvation's Road, traveled through. It's traveled through or by repentance and faith. I want you to look at your outline and think of that with me a minute, repentance and faith. Now, it may come to your mind and that our belief is that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Yes, it is. So where's repentance, Pastor Ken? The salvation's road is repentance and faith. That's what's in the text. That's what's been talking about. John the Baptist came preaching repentance for the coming of the Lord. So where's repentance? The true gospel, listen to me, the true gospel calls for repentance and faith. It's kind of the two sides of the same coin. You come repenting. All of us should know this. All of us should know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you came repenting. You came turning your life in a different direction. It's a thing like this. It's what the faith requires. It's what faith calls for. It's faith to turn your eyes upon the Lord. Is right? Right? You didn't come, I believe in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. He did this. He died for my sins, that kind of thing. There's no of me turning from anything. There's no of me repenting of anything. I'm just believing in the Lord, and then now I have salvation. Repentance is what believing in the gospel is. The gospel call is that you believe that you're a sinner, that you're living in the wrong direction. Christ didn't come to save anybody that thinks they're living in the right direction. That's all over the gospels. There are zero people living in the right direction. He didn't come to save the righteous, but the sick. Everybody's sick. If you think you're righteous, you can believe in whatever you want to believe. You didn't repent, you're not saved. And that's what we're looking at here today. You believe that you are a sinner living in the wrong way. You see the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase your forgiveness. So you turn from sin, turn from living the wrong way. You are repenting of sin, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is turning. It's a turning. It's a repentance. It's a change in direction from the life of sin. It's a change of mind that I am good enough and I can earn some sort of reward or forgiveness from God. I never will be. You will never be any. And I need his forgiveness, so I need to turn. That's the gospel. Any other thing isn't the gospel. The bad news of the gospel is he came to save sinners that couldn't do anything about it. The bad news is that we are all wicked. We are all unrighteous. We are all in need of a Savior. The bad news is there's nothing that we can do to earn it, to gain it, to receive it, to anything that God would think of any of us as righteous. We have to turn from that life and embrace the Lord's life. We should all know this. Jesus said you have to lose your life to gain his. That's repentance. You don't keep your life and believe in the Lord and have salvation. You do not. You lose your life. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. That's what God says. That's what Jesus says. That's the testimony of Scripture. It's like this chair. You can have faith in the chair to hold you up. But true faith sits in a chair, doesn't it? That's a good place for an amen, yeah? True faith sits in the chair, right? You can have faith. You can believe that Jesus will save you, that he'll forgive you, but you got to embrace, you got to mercy, you got to sit in Christ. It's called repentance. It's called turning from the way you lived to turning to the way he desires for us to live. It's the same coin with two sides. You have faith in the finished work of Christ for forgiveness of sin. To sit in that faith, you repent and turn. You guys catching what I'm talking about? There may be people here today that's never repented. I believe in the facts. I believe in the truth. I want to go to heaven. I want the things that God gives me. Did you hear the gospel that he died for our sins, that he was crucified for our sins, and that you had to lose your life to gain his? Did you hear the truth of the gospel that it's an embracing of all the way, the truth, and the life of Christ to come to faith in Christ? This is the testimony of Scripture. Look at the front of your bulletin. Mark 1:15. Here's Mark's gospel. This is what he says first when Jesus came on the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ, saying this, verse 14 says, Jesus came preaching and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance and faith. It's salvation's road. Jesus said, repent and believe. Two sides of the same coin. Faith repents. Faith turns from serving self, from serving sin, to serve with your whole life the living and true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 tells us that. That's salvation. That's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep hammering this and just put it out there because this is what Matthew's saying. This is what Matthew said. Hey, the forerunner came. The one came, and he was preaching repentance. And then when Jesus came, it was about faith in Christ. And then he immersed us and baptized us with the Holy Spirit, placed us in the body of Christ. He didn't eliminate repentance when he came. He required it. Let's travel this testimony of salvation's road of repentance a little bit, okay? Turn your Bibles to Acts 2. I'm just going to go through the book of Acts. Let's take this journey on route one, the only route, a route on salvation's road. There's just one. There's not many, so we're calling it route one. Acts 2, you there with me? Turn into Acts 2. And I'm just going to stay here in Acts and a few things. There's so many that we could go through. I spent a lot of time putting all this down just for my own edification and learning and just the conviction of what God's Word, Scripture tells us about this. This is nobody's opinion. This is the Word of God. Acts 2, look at it with me. We're going to take this journey through the road of salvation. Here's Peter's first sermon. First one. He's sharing the gospel. You know that. Chapter 2, verse 22. Look at it with me. Right? Holy Spirit has come, all that's going on. And here, Peter, first sermon. First sharing of the gospel. Verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of his death, since it's impossible for him to be held in his power. He's the Savior. He's the Christ, right? There it is, the gospel, right? You put him to death. The following verses go on to explain the detail that Jesus is the God the Son, and that he would have to die and be raised again. Then look at verse 36 with me. Here is Peter summarizing his sermon with a powerful statement. Listen to what he says in verse 36. Therefore, concluding what I've told you, let all the house of Israel, let all the Jewish people know, all the people that believe that they're the children of God and that they are God's chosen people, they're of Abraham. Here it is, preaching to the Jews. Know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. You know when they heard Lord, they would say authority of life. God made him the authority over everything in the world, in life and existence, in the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ. That would have hit him. Well, I thought God the Father's authority. God the Father made Jesus Lord authority in the salvation of the Lord. And the Christ, the Messiah, the one you've been looking for. The anointed one, the one coming. This Jesus whom you crucified. Listen to the direction he said to them, the direction of your life, sin, killed the Messiah, killed the Lord and Savior, but God raised him from the dead. He paid the penalty of your sin. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. Look at verse 37. Look what he says next. Now when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? What happened was spiritual, intense spiritual conviction of sin came. That's faith in the gospel. Spiritual conviction to know that your sin killed Christ, that you know your sin is why he went to the cross. Your sin is why he had to go to the cross. His resurrection so he could bring new life. You in your sin, God, Christ had to die on the cross for your sin because of you. That's faith. I believe he did. That's what it is. Faith. I believe that he did. They actually did it. I mean, this is really interesting, but our sin put him on the cross. And God pierced their heart, got down to the very soul of the human being. With the truth of the gospel, and that faith came. That's faith in the gospel, isn't it? It pierced the heart with the truth of the gospel. Your sin crucified him, and he now lives as Savior and Lord. The gospel. Look at verse 38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the receiving forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's change of mind, change of direction and purpose from sin to God. I've got conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got conviction of my sin, put him on the cross, and that he was raised from the dead, so paid a penalty of my cross, and you have new life. Spiritual resistance, believe in the Lord. And what does it say? Turn. Turn from serving self to serving God. Turn from self-serving. Turn from this world's about you. Turn that it's about God. It's repentance, isn't it? It's right in the text, is it not? Come on, you guys, is it in the text? Interact with me today, okay? Is it in the text, repentance? If you haven't repented, what's up? What's up with us, with the salvation that we have? We haven't turned my life. I didn't turn nothing. I just said, you know, I believe, and you know, I just went on living my way. See, this is what has really harmed the body of Christ in our country is because the gospel hasn't been talked about on what it requires. Faith and repentance knows that the evil of sin must be forsaken and the person and the work of Christ totally embraced. That's salvation's road. That's salvation's road. Look at Peter's second sermon, chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Look at the second sermon that he preaches. This goes on and on and on through all of the scriptures. Look at verse 17 with me. In Acts 3, Peter, he just healed a crippled man in the name of Jesus. People are amazed. This guy couldn't walk forever. Now he's up walking. Peter tells them that in the power of Christ that was to do this, in the power of the name of Jesus. It isn't us. It's in the power of the resurrected Lord. The one you delivered over for death, the one that God raised from the dead, a fact that I witnessed, is what Peter's saying. We witnessed. Look at verse 17. Look what it says. He's sharing the gospel. And so he tells them, and he's a Jew. Here's the brethren. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Verse 19, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent. Turn. From serving sin and serving to serving God, return there is to be converted by changing as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26, same chapter. He tells them this, for you first God raised up his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. That's repentance. That's what the salvation of the Lord is, what he's doing in the life of a believer that has faith. He's turning you from your wicked ways. Everybody of us have wicked ways. All of us have wicked ways. Nobody comes to the cross with no wicked ways. You come with way more than you even know you have. And then you come repenting and turning, and then this life, he's turning us from our wicked ways. It's repentance. Everybody is going in wicked ways unless they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. This is a testimony of Scripture. Let's travel the road a little further. Look at Acts 20. Look at Acts 20. I've never heard this, Pastor Ken. Forgive me. I've been preaching here for 16 years, 17 years. I've never presented it in this way that you heard it. Forgive me. Because salvation's road is repentance and faith. Look at Acts 20 with me. Here's the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 17. He's saying farewell to the elders that loved him, and he loved them at Ephesus. They'll never see him again, and there's all this crying going on and all this kind of stuff. It's very emotional. But listen to what he said, verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So Paul's there. And when they had come to him, he said to them, this is the elders of the church they loved. You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials which come upon me through the plots of the Jews. This is really hard. You guys know about the life of Paul. How I did not shrink, even though people are stoning me to death in Iconia, and then God raises me from the dead, I go back into the town. That's not a text. That's just what he's going through. All of that, and that I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the road of repentance and faith? Is salvation's road repentance and faith? The Apostle Paul, in all the ministry and all of the missionary work and all of that, listen to what he said, solemnly testifying to both everybody I met of repentance toward God, turning your life from sin, turning your life toward God, turning your life away from serving idols, from sin, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been the message. It's never not been the message until somebody doesn't represent the truth of the gospel. Two sides of the same coin. No true faith without repentance. No true faith that there's no change of mind, change of direction. You might want to write that down. No true faith without repentance. No true faith if there's no change of mind, change of direction. And it's by the power of God that you change mind direction. Faith's a gift, remember? Let's go to one more place. Down salvation's road to repentance and faith. Look, turn to Acts 26. When you turned your eyes toward the Lord, the song we sang, who got you to turn? God, the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, bring conviction, right? Show you your sins, show you who you are, right? Now, you might be 7 years old, and you came to the Lord and saw the Lord, faith in him, and you're just like, well, you know, what do you turn from? You turn from quit picking on your sister. Do what mom says. Recognizing, yeah, you're a sinner, and you need salvation because that's the pattern of your life, and that will lead your life if you don't have the salvation of the Lord. Young people, listen to me. I'm pretty good. I don't do this, that. As young people, thank God that the parents are training you well, and you understand that ethics in your home, and that we're trying to represent the Lord, and we're trying to represent the truth of Christ in here, but you're a young person that can haven't come to faith in the Lord. This is the life that you have. Recognize that what's in you, apart from salvation, will lead your life, your whole entire life, unless you repent of your sin and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're not good enough. You won't live for the Lord. Sin will master you. And once you leave the environment of people that love you, that are showing you the way of the Lord, you will not live the way of the Lord without salvation's transform life. Acts 26. You guys know what's in Acts 26. beginning in verse 13. Look at this with me. The Apostle Paul is evangelizing King Agrippa. He's telling him about the time when Paul met the Lord, right? You remember this, the whole amazing thing. He's telling King Agrippa, verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me, they saw too, right? And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you've been persecuting, but get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you and appointed you a minister and witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. That had to be an incredible encounter. But it says, so Jesus is sending Paul to share the gospel is what Jesus is doing. So I'm going to send you to share the gospel. Verse 18, here's what to do what? In sharing the gospel, to open the eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those whom have been sanctified by faith in me. Circle that verse. Jesus sent the Apostle Paul to open their eyes. That's to pierce the heart. That's to open their eyes to the gospel. That's faith. He sent him to open the eyes to faith, to turn from darkness, that's sin, to turn to light, that's a totally different way. To turn from the authority, jurisdiction, the domain of Satan, to the authority, jurisdiction, the domain of the living God. That's repentance. It's right there, isn't it? You don't turn on your own. And you don't turn without the power of God in your life, and you don't turn without faith in Christ. So this is all going together. And faith in Christ turns from the authority of sin being your master, turns from darkness to light. Look at verse 19 and 20. So, King Agrippa. So he tells him the story. This is what he says. I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. I've been doing that. But I kept declaring both to those in Damascus first and also in Jerusalem and then throughout the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds according to repentance. Faith and repentance, salvation's road. What are the deeds according to the repentance? Turning away from sin, turning to God, turn from living for self to living for the true and living God. It's salvation's road, isn't it? Amen? So turn back to Matthew 3. This is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of it. He sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the road, the way of the Lord, prepare to make ready the way of the Lord, preaching repentance. Matthew 3, this is the beginning of it. Of the message of the gospel, of what was going to go forth, of what the apostles were going to carry, to what we're supposed to carry, to what all Christians were supposed to carry out in the gospel to the people. Christ died for your sins. He came and lived a sinless life, gave his life as a ransom to many. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He went to the cross, innocent as can be, and he got crucified, and God's wrath was poured upon him. Your sin was poured upon him while he was on the cross. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, God calls you to repent. Turn from the life you're living now and embrace the life he has for you. That's the gospel. Yes, you got to lose your life to gain his. Yes, salvation is free. It only costs you your whole life. That's the gospel. That's the truth of the gospel. That's what we're to preach to people. That's the power of the gospel unto salvation when you call people to repent and believe. And God, in his providence, will open up their eyes. He will pierce their heart with the truth of the gospel, and they will come repenting, embracing a changed life. That all began here. This began right here in the text. Look at it with me. We'll just cover this shortly. Here's the beginning of the gospel call of repentance and faith. Let's travel the road through this text. It's a short trip. John the Baptist is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he is, right? He's the forerunner. He came before him. Luke 15 through 17, chapter 1, let me read it to you. The angel telling John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, John's father, he tells him this, verse 15, for he will be great, speaking of John the Baptist, in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to their God. It is he who will be as a forerunner before him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what the angel told Zechariah. In Malachi, the Lord prophesied in chapter 3, verse 1. He said, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. 500 years, 400 and some years before Jesus came. With the words, behold, I am going to send. That's the Lord Jesus Christ before he became Jesus. He's just God the Son. He's going to send my messenger. He will clear the way before me. He'll make ready salvation's road, right? That's what he's talking about. So John the Baptist is the Lord's messenger, the forerunner of Christ. That's just clear. It's right in the text. We read it there. He's a man on a mission. He's got a mission. It's fun to say that, mission from God. I got a mission from God, right? He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. This was the mission God had for him. And God has shared his plan for the mission of this man some 700 years ago through the prophet Isaiah. That's what he shared. Turn to Isaiah 40. Let's look at that just for a second. Here's God 700 years before, knowing that John the Baptist is going to come, that he's going to be born. Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, right? He knows all of this. Zechariah is going to be the dad. Angel comes, tells him he's going to be the forerunner of Christ. Right, Isaiah 40, you find it yet? And here God is saying, that the Jewish people, you just got to go, man, what a hard heart. God had to pierce their heart and because they all know this, okay? Isaiah 40, look at verse 3, beginning there. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. How do you clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness? Repent. Turn. Turn from serving self and serving sin to serve the true living God. That's how you can clear the way for the faith, for the life that Christ brings to you. You make smooth in the desert highway for our God. And let every valley be lifted up. Now, some people are going to say, oh, that's a work, or this is that, or there's nothing required. Faith requires you to surrender your life to Christ. That's a turning. That's just a gimmick of the enemy to say, oh, well, you know what, you just believe, and there's nothing required in believing. Faith in the chair is not faith unless you sit in it. It's not. I can believe that I can fly, but have you seen me jump? You can't. You got faith that you can fly. Until you fly, you have no real faith, right? We look through the scriptures on how it was called. Listen to what he says. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, a voice crying out, calling out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All grass, all flesh is like grass, and all the loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. Yes, we are. Your life is temporal, a vapor. It's fallen apart, and one day you will pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of God stands forever. Peter used this text right here. In 1 Peter, and he refers to this word as the gospel revealed to you that caused you to be born again. That lasts forever. That lasts forever. Back to Matthew 3. Also, John was a man with a message. He had a message. Look at verse 2. You there with me? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse 11. That's the message, repent, the kingdom of heaven. And here else is his message. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's not our message now. That was a unique message then because Jesus hadn't come on the scene. He hadn't lived a sinless life, hadn't died on a cross, hadn't raised again. We just say repent, believe, turn, embrace the Lord, lose your life to gain his. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of God will bring new, born again. That this is, and the new life is a different way. But the message here is a message of repentance and believe in the one coming. That's what his message was. That's what Jesus came preaching. Repent, believe in the gospel. That's his message. Repent, believe in the one coming after me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John's message was. That's what his message was. So many places I could show you this, but let me just show you in this one simple place so you understand what actually John the Baptist was doing in his message. The Apostle Paul in Acts 19 was traveling and came to Ephesus. This is before what we read earlier. This is when he's building, and he found some disciples. There are some people that believed in Christ. As Paul is explaining things to them, in verse 4, he says this. Listen to what he says. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. That was his message. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin. You're a sinner. You needed salvation. The way you're going isn't the way you should. God wants you to go. You need to turn and embrace the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's by faith. It's an act of faith. It's by the faith. But repentance is in everywhere. There's a turning. John made ready the road, didn't he? He made ready the road, the salvation road. It's right here. So the forerunner of the Lord Jesus was a man on a mission with a message of repentance and faith with a ministry. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 and 6 of Matthew 3. Look at what he says. Then Jesus was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Verse 11, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. That was his ministry. His ministry was to immerse, that's the word baptize, immerse people in water who were confessing their sin and turning from sin, repenting. They're repenting and confessing, and John told them to believe in the one that's coming after him. We read that in Acts 19. That was his ministry before Jesus came. He was immersing people in water, a baptism of repentance. The only one who ever had that ministry. Now that when you get baptized, we all know this, you have faith in Christ, you're giving a testimony, I'm the Lord, I'm going to get baptized, hold me accountable to me being a Christian, following Christ. It doesn't do anything to be baptized, it's just affirming, because Jesus said be baptized. The Word of God tells us to be baptized. We have faith in Christ and hold me accountable. I have new life. I'm going to go a new way. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an affirming. It's a response to Christ. There's nothing in it. So this is the only time the baptizing for repentance is going on. This baptism of repentance had a really significant meaning to the Jews that none of us understand. I'm going to read Pastor MacArthur on it so we understand we can move on salvation's road. Listen to what he said. Those Jews that submitted to being baptized was more than a little significant because that was not the traditional Jewish ceremony. It was completely different from the Levitical washings, which consisted of washing hands, feet, and head. The Essenes, a group of Jewish people who lived in the northwest shore of the Dead Sea, practiced a type of ceremonial washing that more nearly resembled this baptism, but both of them, the Levitical and Essenean washings, were repeated on the sea, and sometimes, many times in a day, even many times an hour, they repeated the purification from repeating sinning. John's washing, however, was a one-time thing. The only one-time washing the Jews performed was for the Gentiles. I want you to listen to this. This is incredible. When a Gentile believed and trusted in the God of the Bible, and they believed and they wanted to become a person belonging to God in Judaism, the Jews baptized them, immersed them in water so they could become part of the family of God in the Old Testament. Wow. These Jews are submitting to the Gentiles' baptism giving recognition that, that my family line of being in Abraham and David and Isaac and my Jewish heritage does not save me. I need to be saved. That's what was going on. Only God was showing him that. Only God was showing him, listen, this act symbolized before the world that they had realized their national and racial descent or even their calling as God's chosen and covenanted people could not save them. They had to repent, forsake sin, and trust in the Lord for salvation. They had to come into the kingdom of God just like the Gentiles through repentance and faith. And they were recognizing it right then. And they were coming out in droves, coming out to be baptized. Last thought from our text as we travel this road. Here John the Baptist is speaking to those who think they are righteous, who have no need of repentance. That's verse 7. They came out. You know, that's why they came out. Like, hey, and he tells them, you brood of vipers, who told you the wrath of God's going to come? These are the guys that think they need no repentance, that somehow they're good enough. Jesus didn't come to save them, right? It says he didn't come to save the righteous. The people that think they're righteous, because there is no absolutely zero people righteous, that think, I don't need to repent. I don't need to repent to believe in Jesus. I don't need to repent of the life to embrace Jesus, to have a salvation, to have the new life I have. I don't need to repent. I don't need to turn my life. I don't need to, you know, pretty good enough. God, Christ just wanted me and him with heaven, and he wanted to forgive me of my sins so I could be forgiven and I could be in heaven with him. John's speaking to those that don't think they need no repentance. That's who he's speaking to in verses 8 through 12. Listen to what he has to say. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. I'll explain that in a minute. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree, therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Do you hear what he said? You see, true repentance and faith transforms lives. That's the fruit he's talking about. It doesn't make you a kind person. It does, but that's not the true fruit. That now I have some integrity, and now that I'm kind, and now I'm generous, and I have some patience. God wants all of that in our life. But there's true fruit, that bear fruit, that God sees, that we see, that everybody sees. True repentance and faith transforms life. It bears fruit. John says in verse 8, to those who think their heritage as a Jew saves them, in verse 9 he says this, do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you, that from these stones, God is able to raise up children of Abraham. What a strong statement to say God is able to raise up true children of Abraham, people of true faith, from stones. He's able to raise them from stones, people with true faith like Abraham had. He's talking to them. It's about faith. It's about repentance. It's about transformed life. It's about bearing the fruit of God in your life. Don't suppose that you can say, well, you know, I'm a chosen of God people. I'm here. I'm Abraham's descendants. He says, he can raise people of faith from rocks. Signifying that those who think that they need no repentance don't really have faith in God or faith in the Lord and Savior. Their faith is in themselves. To those, Jesus is going to come and one day baptize you, immerse you in fire, the judgment he just said. He's going to cut down the tree, throw it into the eternal judgment. He's going to clear the threshing floor. He's throwing up the chaff. He's gathering those who are truly his, the wheat, into his kingdom, and he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire forever. Salvation's road is repentance and faith. The true repentance and faith transforms lives. Those that don't need to have a trend, don't think their life needs to change, don't come to Christ knowing their life doesn't need to change, don't embrace the way, the truth, and the life of Christ, can live their own way and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, fire. That's what he just said. But with those with true repentance and faith, those baptized by Jesus with the Holy Spirit will bear fruit that only by God's power can be brought forth. And that's a transformed life. An old life lost to gain his, a life that is turning from sin, that turns from serving self, that turns to serve the living and true God, a change of mind, a life that sees and knows the evil of sin must be forsaken and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ totally embraced. It's God's work in your life. Nobody does this apart from the power of the Holy Spirit to pierce your heart with the truth of the gospel, to regenerate you to be born again. As we come repenting of our life, believing in the Lord. He prepared the road. We saw the road traveled all the way in Acts. We could go a lot of places and see the road traveled. Salvation's road is what John the Baptist came preaching. Simply, if you're not on that road, repent and believe. Say, Lord, I want to turn from serving self, turn from sin, change my mind. That this is based upon how good I am or how nice I am or how righteous. It's not based on any of that. I know I'm not. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And I'm turning to embrace your life. The life that you died to pay the penalty of my sin and was raised to give me. If you're on that road, praise God for his mercy and grace, right? Nobody figured this out. God pierced our heart with the truth of the gospel. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning and for the truth of the gospel here, a gospel. The purpose of a gospel. The purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ was to rescue us, to save us. Not only from sins, punishment, but from sin's power dictating our life, from the draw of the flesh, from the selfishness of our own nature, from the ugliness of choosing us over you in every area of our life. You came to rescue. We just need to recognize we need rescue. That in your work, we turn our eyes upon the Lord. And you save. We just praise you and thank you for the grace and the mercy bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.